Hey guys, it's Renee from Throwing Down with Renee and Misha. On this podcast, we talk our expectations for Paige VanZant now that she's officially signed with AEW. Plus, we talk about Jake Paul's latest offer to Dana for a one-fight deal to take on Conor McGregor. Here it is. Paige VanZant has officially signed with All Elite Wrestling, and I couldn't be more fucking psyched about this shit. I'm excited to see what she brings to the table. I feel like she is just going to bring a different air to the women's division, which has been thriving lately in AEW. I mean, between, of course, Britt Baker's always going to be tippy top there. We've got Britt, Thunder Rosa, Jade Cargill is like a literal piece of artwork of a human being. She is this beautiful specimen who within like a year has just like grown leaps and bounds. She's amazing. But having somebody like Paige VanZant, of course, with the tie with American Top Team, I cannot wait to see what she's going to do. I know Misha and I, we've been able to have conversations about this for a while now. And we actually were like, maybe Kayla Harrison's going to go there. What's going to happen with Kayla? And then obviously she signed to PFL. But now for Paige to be with AEW, still signed to Bare Knuckle. So she is busy. She is booked and busy, girl. I'm happy for her.
Me too. I think this is going to be a fun addition to see, to see how she transitions over. I always like watching people in their different developments, and I'm not gonna lie. I feel like what I have seen of her, I've liked it so far. I like seeing a familiar face. I guess anything to give me more of a reason to care about pro wrestling is good for me. Right?
Good for you.
Because otherwise it's hard for me to get into it. Because I'm like, I don't know these people. I don't know these storylines. But I know Paige VanZant. I'm a huge fan of hers. I will watch whatever she does, whether it's Dancing the Stars or pro wrestling or bare knuckle boxing or MMA. Like, I'm a fan of her as a human being.
I'm also a fan of her. I do find her to be a pretty interesting person. She's a great social media follow. I am not on her OnlyFans account because I don't need that kind of information from her. But go get it, girl. By all means, go out there and get it. I've just not subscribed to that. I think she's really great. I think she is like tailor-made for professional wrestling. And, you know, with that legitimacy that she has, we've talked about her background. We know what she brings to the table as an MMA athlete. So for her to dabble into this pro wrestling world, I want to know, like, what her training has been like, who she's been working with, who has kind of been in her ear to get her prepped for pro wrestling. I know Dustin Rhodes is usually one of those great guys to work with a lot of the women. He takes a ton of time and care to get them in the right spot. I know he was really instrumental in getting Ronda ready for some of her first matches in WWE. So I would imagine maybe Dustin has a little bit of a hand in this, but I have not a clue. I think it's really, really interesting. And, you know, you said the word fun. And I think it's really cool for her at this point in her career to be able to kind of kick back a little bit and just be able to have some fun. I mean, obviously there's tons of physicality involved and her brain's going to be working in overdrive, just figuring out the pro wrestling world, but it's a different hat to wear. And I think it's really cool to see what she's going to bring to the table.
I love how diverse Paige has been. She's so unafraid to take risks. And I really admire that. Might be my favorite thing about her is that she really puts herself out there in all these different kinds of ways. And she's also very open book. So she's, you know, somebody that will describe the, traumas of her past and current struggles as well. Like, she's going to let people know what this journey is like. And I appreciate somebody who's not only willing to take risk, but a willing to share with the world, you know, the struggles of that along the way. And I think that's one of my things that I'm realizing why I'm a fan of hers and why I appreciate her craft and how she's able to translate it in so many ways.
I think she'll be a really great addition to the locker room as well. I mean, not that I spend time in that women's locker room, I'm really very rarely around to get a good concept of that, but just like my time in the WWE locker room and just like what women's wrestlers are like in terms of being like so open arms to people coming in and being able to shine another spotlight on what they're doing, to getting somebody up to speed and helping somebody out in the ring. And obviously it seems like right now it's going to be Paige VanZant and Tay Conti. I'm really excited to see what those two are going to do. Like, is Paige going to be working with Scorpio Sky, who just became the TBS champ? Wait, did I have that right? Yes. Or TNT champion, sorry. So yeah, I'm excited to see if they're going to work together, like what that means for Austin, because Austin's always with her too. He was at ringside with her when this confrontation happened. And I mean, obviously those two go hand in hand, quite literally. So I wonder what his involvement is going to be.
Is that common? So if a couple is married inside of a pro wrestling like division, that they are like a team? Is that not always?
I mean, it certainly does happen. I mean, it's happened. I've never wrestled a day in my life, and I remember being at an indie show John was at, and one of the he was wrestling Killer Cross, and Scarlett, his fiance, came out and like she attacked John or something. People were like, "Get Renee out here!" I'm like, "What the fuck am I gonna do?" but it is really funny how that happens. Where it's that entertainment side where you want to see the wrestling, but you also want to see like a little bit of the bullshit. Like, well, we know you guys are married, so maybe she's gonna come out and do something. Where you have somebody like Austin, who's like, he already has his fight background, so is that gonna be something that they're both gonna dabble in? When the storyline is right there, I say lean into it. Like, why not? But if it's Paige, if she's going to be doing something with Scorpio Sky, quite possibly, because you're going to see Tay with Sammy Guevara, her lover. Oh, my God. Those two are hot and steamy all over the internet. Ay, caramba. Get it, girl. but, yeah, I think it's going to be really cool. I feel like the crossover for Paige is going to be great. I want to see who else she is going to be working with.
Does she ever do any tag teams like with her hubs or anything like
that? Yeah. So she has gotten involved a few times they have been on screen together. They have had their moments together in the ring. It's hard to avoid. Yeah. It's super hard to avoid. I mean, yeah, even for John and I, it's like for me not being a wrestler, we still did stuff on screen together with WWE. I mean, it was far and few between, but I mean, there's no way to avoid it.
I feel like it would happen. If you want to tell like a good, if you want a good believable storyline, right? You can't.
You have to blur those lines.
Exactly. I'm starting to understand this whole dynamic. I think that would be really cool to see because they're certainly a power couple.
Oh, yeah.
They're loud and proud on the internet. And
oh my gosh, are they ever? I know, I love it.
I love it. So let them get it in the pro wrestling world too. And AEW.
Get that money. Get that money. I'm really excited for this. So we're just looking at like some tweet responses when we, put out the call for people to jump on and talk to us. Mike said, she's going to flop, in my opinion. I hate when negativity comes out of fucking nowhere because you've not seen her in this world, so to speak, to have any kind of a negative response to her. She's always just kind of come out, done her thing, and ducked back out. I don't feel like the spotlight has ever like fully been on her enough for us to have a good concept of what she's going to bring to the table. But Chaz on Twitter said, I hope that they get her away from Lambert and let her speak for herself. That's where I think it can be a little bit tricky, because personally, I think Dan Lambert is awesome. I'm a huge fan of his. I think in terms of her being able to have someone to guide her in the right direction, she's in really good hands with him. So I actually wouldn't want to see her get away from Dan Lambert. He brings so much to the table, especially in terms of some shit talking. And when someone is not great on the mic, I find it distracting. So if she wasn't great, I don't know. How do you think she would do in a promo?
I think he's really helping her along, showing it. You got to give her time to develop. And I think
for sure
Lambert is so, he's really good. I don't know. I mean, I could see why all of a sudden he's just become such a prominent force in there and how he's been able to bring over these MMA faces and personalities, but he's really holding their hand in all of it. And I think eventually she will get to the point where she's comfortable and can really carry herself on the mic, but
it's so cutthroat that if you're not, and it's so cutthroat And it can be very unforgiving that if you go in there and you kind of drop the ball on that first promo, people will have already made up their minds about what to expect. And that can be a little bit of a harsh reality. So I think kind of, you know, one thing at a time. Let's do one thing at a time. Let's get her in a match. Let's, you know, get some of that experience under her belt, some of those hours. Let's see her take a bump. We got to get some of this stuff happening. I'm super intrigued to see what they are going to do with her. Like, just, you know, even the simple, it's not simple, but just an added layer. What does her gear look like? What's she going to look like when she comes out? What are her outfits going to look like? Because that is something you have to think about, that presentation side of things. Is she going to go more of an MMA style? Are we going to see her in like shorts in the sports? Are we going to see her do something similar to like what Ronda did? Or does she go full pro wrestling?
See her go full pro wrestling.
Interesting. See, I feel the other way. I feel like she should come out in like the MMA gear.
That's what's interesting. I see what you're saying, because I think that you want to try to hold true to the story. However, I think she just, maybe it's not full pro wrestling in the sense of like looking like another pro wrestler, but I think that if she goes shorts and sports bra, it needs to be like with this, because Ronda's already done that. You don't want to be like you're following in her footsteps. Does that make sense?
She really needs
to stand out in her own way. So maybe something MMA-esque, but still needs to, and Paige VanZant is like, she is, I mean, she's hot. She's kind of over the top in her presentation. She's beautiful. Like, I just think that she needs to really embrace that side of it as well. So I don't know. Maybe if it's sports bra and shorts that are completely gemmed out or something.
Yeah, let's bedazzle it a little bit. Let's give it a tassel, just make her, something.
Make her fancy and shiny and gorgeous. Yeah. And she could still have an MMA feel to her, but she needs to be her own person in this.
Hey everybody, this is Lindsay Rhodes, and with the NFL playoffs underway, what better time than now to check out my podcast, The NFL Road Show. We're going to break down the biggest games, key players, every angle in between, with guests that go past the low-hanging fruit and get to what you really need to know. We'll have new episodes every Monday and Thursday, all the way through Super Bowl 56 in my hometown of Los Angeles, so please subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, included with most subscriptions.
Okay, so some Jake Paul news. Again, what would this show be without a Jake Paul story? So more trash being talked in Dana White's direction. Jake Paul tweeted out, "Dana, since you like me now, how about a one-fight UFC deal to fight Conor? If I win, you agree to my UFC fighter pay and healthcare proposal. If I lose, I donate my entire purse to all UFC fighters who make less than $50,000 a fight and never mention UFC again. Deal?"
Ooh-wee.
What do you think? What do you think about this? I mean, go ahead.
No, I think I know where you're going with this, but I feel like he throws out these offers that he knows that Dana White will never take.
But they're generous offers. They're so generous.
Well, that's so yeah. Go ahead. No, what were you gonna say?
They so favor, it's such a what if Jake goes in there and knocks out Connor, then what?
Oh,
like, it's just too slippery of a slope, and shining such a spotlight on what some of the negatives could be for fighters. You know, when you're talking about fighter pay and the unions and all of these different things that we always talk about, that all of a sudden it's like, oh, you got to put your money where your mouth is. But I love that Connor, or that Jake, just keeps poking the bear.
Oh, and he's not going to stop anytime soon. He's going to keep poking the bear because he's smart. He's like Connor. He's always keeping his name in the headlines. He wants to be talked about. He doesn't care if he's full of hot air or not. But, you know, part of this interesting strategy where he's definitely trying to take on Dana as, you know, the bad guy and kind of get the fighters to sort of side with him, if you will. I wonder if he's trying to plant seeds for fighters to come over to his promotion.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right? I mean, plant some seeds like, hey, you know, I've been saying all this, like, let me prove it in my show since Dana won't take us up on it. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, he's putting it out there to be all buddy-buddy with everybody else so that they want to jump on that bandwagon. And, like, are there any conversations, like, amongst fighters that are curious about what's going on with Jake Paul and his promotion and what kind of things he would truly be able to offer?
That's a good question. I haven't had any conversations about it personally, but I am sure there are fighters that are talking about it. You know, fighters, they want to make money, but they also are torn between legacy. I mean, I think we've talked to Kayla Harrison enough. I think she embodies a lot of what at least top tier fighters have mindset wise. Mm-hmm. Once you've done it, you've been there, you've accomplished it, you've become a champion, you've done the things that you kind of set out for, and you have that name. I feel like then those things start to become more appealing, the crossover and kind of dabbling and, you know, maybe going to another route or even, you know, even Paige VanZant, you know, she wasn't necessarily a champion, but she came and she conquered a lot of what she wanted to do in MMA. And, you know, so you see, once that happens, I feel like the interest goes in other directions. But a lot of these fighters that he's talking about that are still making less than 50,000, you know, a fight wouldn't be on that level yet. They definitely wouldn't.
What do you
be the
think
ones...
the base number should be for a fight?
What do I think it should be?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's a really
no pressure.
That's a, I know. I still don't know the numbers of like what exactly the UFC clears and everything. And
right.
I mean, I don't know. I could put a number out there, but I feel like it's probably, there's no winning, because if I put it out there and then it'd be like, that's what you think fighters are worth. And then if I say, you know, another number, then that's like the promotion's probably like, well, that's, you know, whatever. Yeah. So I don't know if I could put a direct number out there, but, it would be nice if I would like to see the trend continue upward, trajectory of everybody upward. I know that boxers make a lot of money, but there's only a couple, like we talked about the star value name, how in MMA, why Jake Paul keeps wanting to call MMA fighters is because there's a plethora. There's so many stars, right?
So
in boxing, there's so few names. And not only that, but those names in the boxing, real boxing world would just crush because that's what they're specialty at. But you have like, you know, you have Nate, you have, George Masvidal, you have all these different fighters over there, Connor, you know, who are not professional boxers, but, you know, are strikers, Anderson Silva, like they are so many names. And if for us to be a relatively new sport, especially we're still in the infancy of this sport. Yeah. I feel like, compared to boxing, I think we just got to keep working on getting on that level. But I do feel like that the pay throughout a UFC roster is much more equal than through a boxing roster. If you look at the card from top to bottom, you know, a bottom level boxer on a card where you have someone making tens of millions of dollars can be making like $500 or $1,000. I mean, not much at all.
But it's such a big jump.
There's such a massive jump where I just feel like it's much more spread out. So everyone's a little bit more evenly paid. Okay, the top fighters are not getting paid tens of millions per se. Maybe some are. But these bottom fighters are also not making, you know, a couple $100. Like,
right.
So there's that to take into perspective as well. But I don't know how much money the UFC is actually making or you know.
So it's such an interesting thing of like, I'm not good at it either. Oh my God. Can you imagine me trying to do one of my contracts? I'm like, oh, I'll do it for free, I guess.
No,
I don't know.
That's why I thank God.
So bad at that shit. I know, honestly. Somebody else do that, please, for the love of God. But no, it is really interesting when you just talk about people going to bat for other athletes, saying they should be paid more. And, you know, like you said, it's like there's obviously the business side of that is far above my pay grade that I have not a clue about. But, you know, the same could be said in pro wrestling as well. Like there's a lot of stuff that you still have to pay for on the road. You've got to pay for your gear, your rental car, your hotels, sometimes not usually, but sometimes your flights. Like there's so many different things that come into account. And then you add in the fact there are no seasons. There's no off season. You're away from your family a ton. But, you know, even with us having Becky Hammond on, it's like, you know, you talk about women's, you know, women in the WNBA to, you know, female hockey players, like these athletes that are full professionals, but they will never be set for life. And that's such a scary and unfortunate thing for these athletes. And not that you need to be set for life, but at least to be able to have like a nest egg. Because I mean, when you look at like, you know, whatever an entry level contract is like in something like the NBA, in the NFL, it's just such a difference compared to what fighters make, what professional wrestlers make, what these female athletes are making. It's
yeah,
to find a way to close the gap on that a little bit, because I mean, everyone's putting in that sacrifice.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. That would be amazing. I don't know exactly how we make it happen, but I think having conversations about it is a great way to start. So
Here we are. You know, I was just interviewing some female hockey players, and they were talking about how, you know, they're only making so much money per season, which is like pretty, it's minimal. I don't know what the actual number is, but they're always living and playing in these like really expensive cities. So you end up having to like almost have to get like a second job in order to be able to play and afford your rent or afford, you know, a mortgage on something. It's crazy. Like that grind obviously you need to like really love what you're doing, but it sucks that you have to sacrifice so much in order to like achieve your dreams like that. It's rough.
You know what I look at sacrifice? I look at it as an investment. It's like, what are you willing to invest in yourself? And sometimes mm-hmm. those hardships really are what make it all worth it, because it's like the more sacrifice, the more rewarding it is once you get there. So
yeah,
there is something to be said about sacrifices/investments mm-hmm. and why athletes sometimes you see just the best of the best make it, because it is so hard.
Yeah.
It is so difficult to have that road and to be underpaid and to be undervalued and to have to walk through so much, you know, bullshit to get where you need to go. But
yeah,
I kind of like that there's a little bit of that. I kind of like that there's a little bit of that, because once it gets too easy, you know, I don't know. It's just not as
yeah, no, I agree. I do agree in terms of that. It's like, you know, you always say it's the journey, not the destination.
Yeah.
And I think that is very true, because once you do have all these things, it's kind of like, man, I really miss the good old salad days when we really had to grind it out and
top ramen days.
Exactly.
Fuck yeah. Salad. We couldn't afford salad. Just give us the top ramen, man.
Who can afford the extra avocado? Not me. Okay. Before we take a break here and move on from this Jake Paul story, who wins in a fight, Jake or Connor? How do you see that going if that fight were to come to fruition?
Well, Jake is so much bigger, right? But God, I feel like I'm gonna probably just sound like a hater, but I'm just gonna roll with it. I have bet against Jake every single fight. I thought that, and he's better than I thought he was, so I mean, kudos to him. He has proved a lot of people wrong. He doesn't suck. He is a legit fighter. I will pay him his dividends where they're due. But I still am going to bank on the fight, especially as he continues to fight better and better. And Connor is a striker.
Connor's still at 190. Where's Connor at these days?
I know, right? Like what's Connor look like right now? It's not good for Connor's cardio though. He's not meant to be that big.
True.
He's really not meant to be that big, but I do think speed kills. And I believe that the fact that Connor's actually a striker, my expectations of Jake Paul have certainly risen. He is a good fighter in his own right. But I think once he starts to maybe take on some more of the strikers in MMA that actually are built and made and come from striking backgrounds, he might start to run into some problems. So
right.
I would say, Connor on that one.
Throwing Down with Renee and Misha is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The show is produced by Michael Russo and Kelly Murphy. Sound designed by Nari Balin. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.